Welcome to part one of the study, and the series is No Power Over Me, Demolishing Satan's Lies. And this study is what I call the Sin and Faith Circle. It's just a simple series of concentric circles that I've been using for probably 30 years with people. And it really helps you identify yourself. You have to know yourself. You have to be introspective. My daughters tell me, Dad, you're the most introspective person I've ever met. And I probably am. But the reason I'm like that is because I kept doing the same stupid things over again, again, and again. It was a sin and repent, sin and repent, sin and repent. And I wasn't understanding the process of what was causing me to feel and act in ways that I didn't want to. Look at this slide with me real quick. And this is important as a 30,000-foot look. You have beliefs, and from those beliefs, that's your core. And from that come your behavior and your emotions. And this is something that seems obvious, but people, when they're in trouble, they go to a therapist, they go to a counselor, and they say, I've got this behavior. I need to correct it. And you work on the behavior. Or you take some medication for the behavior. But the belief system is what's driving that. People always want help with what they perceive as the problem. So I came up with this little silly saying, but I hope it helps you and I hope it sticks. The thing that you think is the thing is not the thing. What? The thing that you think is the thing is not the thing. So let me give you an example. Several years ago, I had a counselor friend call and say, I've got a couple that I've been seeing and I'm really not able to help them. And would you meet with them? And I said, sure, be glad to. So they came to my office. Marriage is in trouble. He's committed adultery. And I listened to him tell his story. I listened to her tell her story. And I said this at the end of it. I don't know what the problem is, but the problem is not a sexual relationship with another woman. And I remember the wife looking at me and saying, you said that very emphatically. Are you sure of that? I'm like, I am absolutely 100% sure of that. We'll figure out the cause, but it's not adultery. Sure enough, several weeks later, the cause of the adultery, unforgiveness. There were three men that had hurt this gentleman and really had said some lies about him, made him look bad in his church, and it had, his unforgiveness toward those men was affecting his relationship with God. And that void that he had from that had just caused him, he just had these dead eyes, he was exhausted, he was not sleeping, and he was just trying to do something to feel alive, totally out of character for him. But the thing that he thought was a thing was not the thing. So we have to be aware of Satan's schemes and his deceptions against us. It tells us in his word to not be ignorant of his schemes. So I ask people all the time, what is Satan's scheme against you? They look at me and they say, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, what's his scheme? A professional football team, a college football team, even a high school football team will study the opposition to try to figure out some area of weakness that they can exploit. Do you think that Satan's not examining your life and looking at what you say, hearing what you're thinking as it comes out of your mouth, and that there's not a game plan against you? There is. So let's look at the sin circle just a minute. In the sin circle, the way that I would advise that you look at this is look at the outside of the circle first. This is the behavior that you, or the emotion that you do not want in your life. It's the thing that keeps coming up. It's the first thing you thought of when I said, what's your sin? Put that in the outside of the circle. Mine, in the study, I go through my life and I really detail how it happened from age 5 to present. I didn't want to do that. It's very uncomfortable to put your life and your sin in a circle and post it on social media. But I did it because it will help you understand how that worked in my life so that maybe you can look at your life and make your progression and understand yourself better. When I say out of control emotions, I don't mean just anger. I mean a rage that was just out of control. It didn't happen often. I wasn't an angry person. I was a very easygoing person. I like people. I love people. I get along with people. Very seldom am I ever in conflict with people. But 4 or 5 times in my life, this rage hit and it scared me. So I looked back and I said, well, I know what comes before that is, you know, I'm probably trying too hard, because this particular circle is the one of feeling in control, trying harder and keep on pressing. That was my method. That was my life, what I did. If you put a banner over the top of my head, it was do more, try harder. There's another circle that I do that's one where instead of feeling in control and trying, events have happened to people, things have happened, they've been abused or neglected, and they just sort of fade. Well, I wasn't fading, I was pressing, but the fading is another very interesting study. Try harder. Okay, that was common. I also recognized that I would become critical of people, and I'm not a critical person. God had given me, has given me a gift of discernment, but I was using that discernment against people. I was holding them responsible for what they were thinking because God was letting me see things. And anyway, but none of those things felt like the level of this out of control emotion I was having with trying harder and being critical and my having some failures in my life was nothing to drive what I was feeling. I was about 40 years old and I was in the car with my wife and daughters. Something happened with an 18-wheeler and something on the road that was on a 1 to 10, you would say it was a 4. It was an aggravating circumstance, but I literally lost my mind. I pulled over on the side of the road to let my wife and daughter walk across an overpass to go to the mall where we were going, and I was going to follow this trucker until he pulled off the road. Totally out of control. So I came home that night. Kids go to bed. My wife goes to bed. I go sit on the couch. It's about midnight. And I said, God, help me. I'm going to do something and hurt somebody or even kill somebody, end up in jail and go, what did I do? This is not me. So I just started praying. I'm like, God, would you please show me what it is? And then there it is. I'm sitting there on the couch. 25 years earlier, a friend and I were playing basketball in my front yard. My aunt and uncle lived in the house, and we lived in the house. It was 2 houses together. There was no houses on either side of us, a lake behind us, 2 big gullies on the side. And we had a store and a boat dock that we ran that was probably 500 yards down the road. Nobody home, just me and another friend of mine shooting basketball, 14, 15 years old. 3 men drive down the driveway, and a single cab truck. I can still see the truck right now. And one of them got out and asked us where the spillway was. And I said, it's easy. Get back on the road, take a right, go a mile. You'll run into it, the lake. Well, the other 2 guys got out of the truck. We could tell very quickly that they were drunk, heavily intoxicated. And they started walking toward us. And this fear just gripped my soul. Here, you know, we're kids. We can't fight against 3 men. And I told my buddy, I said, you run one way and I'll run the other. And one of us has got to get to my dad to get some help. And as I'm sitting there having that thought, my heart was beating 180 beats a minute, 25 years later. That's the fear. That's the center of the circle. That fear, anytime anything triggered that looked like that, boy, I responded. And I responded with rage because I was not going to be kidnapped. Well, in the meantime, what did I do? Control comes after fear, because when you're fearful, the next thing you want to do is do whatever you can to get in control. I started lifting weights. I started boxing with my dad. I started karate and developed this attitude that I was never going to let that happen again. And that attitude went through my life. And that was not healthy. And it wasn't until I identified that fear and my fleshly desire to control that I realized, man, you've wasted so much energy and effort doing nothing. It doesn't matter in your life. So identify your fear, identify how you try to control that, and look forward to having you back for part 2.